Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 28. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your poets have said, for we also are his children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We come to you, Lord, and for our daily bread, Lord. We come to you for our sustenance, Lord, and we come to you to turn our eyes to you, Lord, for you are the one that provides our every need, God. You are the one that gives us everything that we need, Lord, and we thank you, Father. Lord, come and speak to us, Lord, this morning as we go into your word, as we pray, as we worship, Father. We honor you, we glorify you, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. this passage actually comes from Paul's sermon to the Athenians, the Sermon on Mars Hill. And this, he's in the city of Athens in his second missionary journey. And he's addressing those in the Areopagus, which basically is where all the intelligentsia or the not the intelligent people, but all the, I guess, the cream of the crop in terms of the academic circles. So you can read on actually verse 21, Luke writing in parentheses, now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. So he's actually making, I feel like he's making a commentary in kind of dig at Greek culture, how people just come and talk about things that don't really matter, or they're only interested in hearing something new, and that's all they spend their time doing, and they don't do anything else. And so we all know that Greece at that time was the center of, or at least probably a few hundred years before, it was a center of philosophical thought and was the gleaming beacon of society. And so this continued on during the Roman Empire, where people would just come and debate and talk philosophy. But the context of what Paul is doing in his sermon, he's giving substance to what the Athenians would worship as the unknown god, one of the many gods that they would worship. You know, there's the gods of mythology like Zeus and Hercules, well, kind of a demigod, but they would worship all these sorts of gods, and one god that Paul sees is the unknown god. And so Paul is saying, like, you guys worship this god that's unknown, but in reality, you guys are completely off. So what he's doing, at least in part of his sermon, he's doing two things. First, he's making a claim that God is not unknown, but God is known, that you can know God. And secondly, what he's also doing is that he's making this claim that that God is a good God, that God is not just this God that needs to be appeased, that he's not like gods in the ancient Near, like the other gods in the ancient Near East, where he's always mad and we have to sacrifice to him in order to make sure that he smiles down on us and to give us a good harvest and children. And he's saying that God is a good God. And that's one of the common characteristics of gods in the ancient Near East, was that, one, you couldn't know them personally, right? As how we would understand God, and that's how we have a relationship with God. And two, they were not benevolent creatures or benevolent beings. They were malevolent. They were very mean. I mean, one of the myths of the ancient Near East was that the gods that created the world only created humans because they needed humans to provide food for them, whereas God is the one that provides food for us. He created the world so that the world would automatically provide food for us. Anyways, that's not the main point of what I want to talk about. But Paul is saying, like, this God is a good God. You know who he is. That's why, you know, later in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, right, writes, he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, that Jesus was met, came down and was born into this world so that we would know who God is. And then later in 1 John chapter 1 and 2, one of the disciples said, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So we have this ability to know God. And not only that, God is a good God. And this is way back. Moses knew this. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. And it's this loving kindness and truth and this compassion that extends to generations and generations. So it's he is very personal. Like it says in verse 27, though he is not far from each of us, he is close. He is right beside us. And this is part of what Paul was trying to tell them. Like, you can know who he is. You can change your conceptions of God and be secure because he is there. And so that's kind of the context that Paul was talking about. The uproar has died down somewhat now from the national security law. But when the national security law was first passed and people were talking about it, and like this, I found myself being drawn to this passage over and over again. Every time I would read the news or hear stuff about it, I would just be drawn by God to this passage, specifically verse 26. To be honest, when the law was first passed, I, kind of went down a little rabbit hole and thinking, like, oh man, what's going to happen now? Is Hong Kong going to start becoming like China? Like, you know, do we have to go underground? And so I thought a lot about my options. And I'm like, well, is now the time to start thinking about moving away from Hong Kong? And, you know, like, what do we do? Where do we live? Like, you know, can we teach the kids about, you know, free speech, or can we teach them critical thinking? And, you know, getting into the debate. And, you know, I even messaged one of my friends back in Toronto, and I asked him, hey, what are housing prices like? Or what's the housing situation like in Toronto? And he got so excited because he thought I was seriously considering moving back to Toronto, even though I caveated my question first by saying, don't get excited. I'm just asking out of curiosity. And anyways, but the fear that I had with the national security law, and this is not even considering like COVID, right? Just the national security law was that it's so up for interpretation. Like the national security law, I just pulled this off the internet from the government website. The purpose of the national security law is to prevent, curb, and punish crimes, namely acts of secession, subversion of state power, terrorist activities, inclusion with foreign or external forces to endanger national security, maintain prosperity and stability of the HKSAR, and protect the lawful rights and interests of HKSAR residents. Like, I mean, we've been around long enough and we live close enough to China to hear the news to understand that there's a lot of things that could be constituted as violating the NSL. And this is a real fear for a lot of people. And that's why there's so much uproar. And, you know, I started thinking, well, what if they start to come after religious leaders? I had someone message me on Facebook, and they don't live in Hong Kong. And so they say, is it true? I saw something on Facebook where the government is in control or in charge of who gets appointed to be a religious leader or who pastors are. They get to basically control who, how pastors get appointed. And so when I first heard that, I was like, that's fake news. But as I thought more and more about it, I began to get a little bit more paranoid. I'm like, yeah, you know, what if I said something that the government would construe as a threat? So, you know, there is a fear there. And so maybe I got to start planning out an extra strategy. But in the midst of that, God kept highlighting this verse. Having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. It kept him just, kept feeling him, you know, speaking this verse to me over and over again. And in uncertain times such as this, it's easy to go down the rabbit hole of what ifs, you know. And at the roots of what I was going through and what I wanted to share with you guys today as an encouragement is, you know, I felt that deep down that perhaps God had forgotten about me, that this situation kind of snuck up on him. Like with COVID, it's like, oh shoot, I didn't see this coming. And then with the national security law, like, oh no, they did this without me knowing. And I had that perspective. I'm like, oh no, God forgot. Now I got to start taking care of myself. But that is not who God is. No, that's not his character. As Paul was saying to the Athenians at the Areopagus, that, you know, God is knowable. God is compassionate. God is gracious. The God who created this world. He says in verse 24, the God who made the world and all things in it. In verse 28, he also says, for in him we live and move and exist. The implication of that is that he is the one that is supplying our daily sustenance, meaning we are always on his mind. He is always thinking about us, which really gives us pause and think like, oh, yeah, you know, God is there. This did not surprise him. This did not, you know, it's not like, oh, no, how did this come to pass? He knew that this would happen. And so I have three takeaways for us this morning. And the first, you know, the first is God's sovereignty. We should remind ourselves of the sovereignty of God. Because whether we like it, it is there. It is constant. His sovereignty is constant. Now, 2020 has been such a crazy year, but like I've said, this does not come as a surprise to God. Back when we were born, whenever that was, you know, there's some that are here that are born in, you know, maybe 60s, I don't know, 70s for sure, 80s. You know, there's some that are here, I know for a fact, that are born in the 2000s. Right? Shout out to, you know, some college students. But back when we were born, he knew that we would be in Hong Kong at exactly this moment in this season. And like Paul was saying, he made you to live in Hong Kong. He has given you the time and the place for you to live. He has determined our appointed times and the boundaries of our habitation. It hasn't come as a surprise to him. Like for us, it might, you know, things will sneak up on us. I have a weekly leaders meeting with my SPU leaders, and there are quite a number of times where I forget that there's this meeting, even though I'm the one setting it. But, you know, God is not like me. God does not forget. He is in control, and this has not snuck up on him. God's sovereignty. And the second point I want to make is that this is a Kairos moment. We use this term a lot, but in reality, I feel like, you know, every moment that we have, every season is a Kairos moment, a Kairos season, that we have been placed where we are in whatever circumstance for such a time as this, that there is something specific that God wants us to do. In verse 26, the word determined is in Greek is horizo, and this can also be translated as the word ordained, that he ordained. And it doesn't really make so much of a difference between determined and ordained, but when I think of the word ordained, it means that God has given us a purpose, that God ordained that there's something specific that we are to do. There's something that he is calling us to in this particular time and place. And it is our responsibility then to ask God what it is that he's calling us to, what it is that he is doing, and how we can join in him. Like there, and that's why I say every moment, every season that we live is a Kairos moment, because you have to remember he is always at work. And so it's not that he's at work, you know, in other places of the world. He's at work where we are. He has placed us for in our current circumstance for a particular purpose. And so are we going to see this? Are we going to go with him or just ignore and let the moments pass us by? But he has placed us in a time such as this. Is not snuck up on him. It is in his sovereignty that we are here. And so we are here for a reason. And what is it? What is it for you? And that's the second takeaway. And the third takeaway is, you know, as I was reading, Paul continues to write on that in verse 27 or verse 26, he made from one man, determined their appointed times and the boundaries of the habitation. In verse 27, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now, Paul is saying that these people have been placed in a particular time so that they might seek out God. And so for us that know God, that have a relationship with God, understanding this, we have this incredible opportunity to share the gospel. And that's my third takeaway, that people have been placed in a particular time and place so that they might seek God. But we have been placed here in Hong Kong in this particular time so that we can share what we already know. We can share what we already have. Situations and circumstances will come in people's lives to cause them to seek out God and for salvation. You know, so if you think about it, there are those that are in need of help. You know, are we going to seize this time to present the gospel to them? There's a lot of people that are in need right now, and not just of, you know, like jobs or material possessions, but in spiritual need. There's so many people who are in fear and are so anxious. Are we going to come and show them the gospel, present the gospel to them, and not just do good works? Because I think in part of that is, do we truly believe that the gospel is what people need? Like the forgiveness of sins and purification from all unrighteousness and to repent for our sins. And I mean, that is the core message of the gospel, that we are sinful. We need to repent. But with that comes this clearing of our past and hope for the future. Like, do we really believe that that message is going to help people? And that's something that we have to ask ourselves. So at the end of, I mean, there's many different ways of sharing the gospel. And I'm not saying that you just have to preach and do nothing else. We have to put our words into action. But at the end of the day, if there's no core message of the gospel being presented, then we're really missing that Kairos moment. If all we're doing is just doing good works, but not actually sharing the gospel, like that people need to repent of their sins. But with that comes this clearing of our past and hope for the future. If we're not doing that, then we're not doing much. So we have been put here in this place, in this particular time, to be hope, to give people hope that comes in the form of a gospel. And I'll close with this. John Paul Jackson, some of you may know, is this really renowned prophetic voice within the Christian community, and he passed on a few years ago. Before he passed on, he would, you can find this online on YouTube, he does these half an hour videos that just talks about, you know, like dreams and visions and all these things. And he filmed this one segment called The Father's Blessing. And I always go back to this blessing because just to listen to it, to be encouraged, because there's such strength in it. And I'll read out a part of it that really sticks to me to this day. He goes, "You have people to influence you have not yet met. You have lives to change that are waiting for your arrival. You are strategically placed wherever God takes you by his grand design, just so you can become everything he made you to be. That place is the place you can grow best. That place is the place where you can be most fruitful. The place where the future is changed because of your presence. And what I think he's saying is that there's people's lives that are changed by your presence because of the gospel, because you know what the gospel is, because you have been saved. You too can go and change their lives. You too can go and change their future and their destinies. So as we worship and pray today, let's just ask God, where is the opportunity? Where is the opportunity that I have to share the gospel, to let people know of your love and the forgiveness of sins that they can have? Let's worship this morning.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass, and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to his holy name. See like never before.
Yeah, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, and we ask, Father, for a reminder of your sovereignty, Lord, to base our lives on that, that you are sovereign and that you are in control and that nothing has snuck up on you, and that you have not left us behind in this time, in this place, God. And we just ask, Lord, for not only just this internal realization, God, but that we can go out, Lord, and we can go and see just areas where we can affect people's lives, affect people's futures, and give them hope, Lord, through your word, through the gospel, Lord, through your love and forgiveness. So we thank you, Lord. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those who are in our community who have cancer and are suffering or are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and the surgeries. Let's also lift up those in the community that are sick with various infirmities, but also have to come to Christ Let's pray that there's an opportunity for them to hear the gospel, that their friends and family will be bold and courageous and to share, God, what is a natural part of their lives, Lord. Let's also lift up those in our community that are just suffering from various infirmities and non-cancer related. Let's pray for God's healing hand over them. Let's also lift up those in our community looking for a job. Let's pray that God will open up doors for them. And also, we put a new section in for praise for people that have found jobs. So we can also praise God for Pastor Ernie, who started a new job yesterday. Turning to our community prayer focus, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for a government that, in light of the situation, they will rule well and wisely. And let's also pray for the wealth gap in Hong Kong. Let's pray for revival amongst all the churches and the various ministries that we support, Source Services National, Shanti, Y1 Teen Moon, Sons and Daughters, Sand Asia, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Community Church, students in Hong Kong, all the domestic helpers and families in distress. let's pray for our staff. We're working from home this week, so let's pray that we are productive and able to work with families around. And let's just pray that we can continue doing what we do despite not being able to meet together. Let's pray for our hospitality teams, the welcoming led by myself and Barissa, who's led by Ash. Let's pray that even during this time, we would get our team ready to go once we are able to meet back together on Sundays. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV, especially the next little while while we continue to meet online on Sunday, that everything will run smoothly and that there will be just no distractions or I guess technical difficulties. Just pray for God's covering over our equipment and all our teams. And let's pray for the gatherings we have going on tonight, SPLI, Biblical Financial Stewardship, and EG. Lord, we thank you for who you are, God, and we remind ourselves, God, that you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, Lord. And we remind ourselves that you created everything in this world, Lord, and everything in this world is in your control. And we remind ourselves of the fact day in, day out, Lord. We remind ourselves, we thank you, Lord, that you are so gracious to us, Lord, in your sovereignty, God. And Father, we pray, God, for your continued covering over us. We also pray for opportunities, Lord, and for us to step on and be bold, God, to to share, Lord, our knowledge, our revelation of who you are, this personal experience that we have had, God, that we will go out and share to testify about how good you are to other people, how good you have been in our lives, and how good you continue to be. We thank you, Lord. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen.